So anyway, this is now a discussion time, and I appreciate the start. And
Okay, it's 3 o'clock now. I'd hoped that, or just before, I'd hoped that we'd spend about an hour in discussion and have some public comment for 15 to 20 minutes, and then finish up with another 40 minutes. Margaret needs to leave, so I'm going to recognize her first. And go ahead, Margaret.
Right. First, to explain why I have to leave. I'm working on a national special on Mamiya Abu-Jamal, in which Mamiya granted us an interview. So this is a show that actually will feature Mamiya, and it is to be up on Audioport as early as Monday morning. Danny Glover has also participated and sent audio from where he is on the set in Bulgaria, and it's really been a lot of work, and I think it'll be a very fine production. We all know that Mamiya is at a very critical stage right now, and that the ruling of the three judges in the Third Circuit Court could come down at any time. So we're really hoping, we're talking about national and local, the relationship. We're really hoping that stations will use the opportunity of a rare interview with Mamiya Abu-Jamal and the rest of the show to actually pick the show up and run it, hopefully during your drive time hours and not at, you know, midnight or 1 a.m, or take 15 minutes here and 10 minutes there, but that's another story. What I wanted to raise in terms of this discussion on programming is to start with the unpaid staff, which are real, and the unpaid programmers, who are by far, certainly at KPFK, and I imagine throughout the network, are the majority of programmers and producers. And we find that when we look at budget, you know, at our local station budgets, and we look for the line items in terms of support for unpaid staff, we could immediately see that that's a problem. We have begun to address it at KPFK, and I understand for the KPFK, for the budget that KPFK is submitting, will indeed include a line item, I mean, not a whole lot, but a start for support for unpaid staff, because we're talking about trying to develop new talent, to support new talent. That has got to be the direction that we have to move in at Pacifica, and we can't just rely on our paid staff, because we just don't have the money, right, to be paying that number of people. So there's a huge pool of talent of unpaid staff that needs support, even in terms of getting up on Audioport. For people who are doing drive time programming, for example, who are unpaid staff, people have jobs, they've got other things that they do, and everybody knows how much work goes into producing a quality show with no resources. I mean, with like zero money. In fact, where you're putting in your own money to develop the show, much less than to have the time to prep it, to get it up on Audioport. So there's still a pool of shows that I'm sure are very, very good and would be accessible to the affiliates. And some of the other KPFT, you know, talked about it. Their programmers, unpaid staff programmers that are doing quality shows but are not up on Audioport. So I think when we start talking about developing national programming, that we also have to look at that way. How are we going to support the programmers who really carry Pacifica and who are really doing quality work so that those programs are accessible to the network as a whole? The other part of that is in terms of talking about, and I'm glad to hear about some of the suggestions coming from the staff about national programming, but we all know that we have to move, you know, thinking not only of this year, but we're thinking of next year, we're thinking of 5 years down the road. Now, all of us, you know, I'm a huge fan of Democracy Now. I will name it. It's a quality show. It's a fine show. It brings a lot to Pacifica. They also get a lot out of Pacifica, but we also know it is not a Pacifica show. And along with the idea of having something that is branded Pacifica, I understand that you don't want to repeat what is already going on, but we have to realize that our negotiation with powerhouse, you know, operations like Democracy Now! Doesn't just happen when we sit down with them to sign on the dotted line. It has to go on a day-by-day basis in terms of how we plan our programming and how they also see us, because they're always looking at us and looking at what we're doing, how they see us developing talent within the network. Because to have something that I'm not saying is a Democracy Now!, but you see where I'm going with this. I mean, something that they very well know that we have the capacity as Pacifica to have a sound, you know, program that is, you know, a national program that is part of the negotiation, so to speak, and perhaps a better working relationship and one that is more beneficial to Pacifica than the one that we have right now. So I like, you know, the idea of having a call-in show, et cetera. You know, but I think we also have to look at that and also explore other ideas that this may be something we want to do in the interim measure, but what are we looking at 4 or 5 years down the road? So those are some of the issues that I want to raise, and I think that it's very difficult for us to really talk about branding Pacifica and moving in a different direction if we're not doing a couple of things simultaneously. It's, you know, like how women do housework. You're a mom, you know how you have to be watching the baby and cooking and on the phone with your mom, making sure she's taking her medicine at the same time, that we have to multitask. So that means that at the same time that we are working and developing something that is a national Pacifica brand, a program in that way, we also have to be looking at the local level. What support do local programmers need so that they can have access to Audio Port, and so that affiliates... we can continue to build the affiliate network and build in that way. So it's not an either-or kind of thing. But stations, and looking at their budgets, have got to make the room available for it. We cannot continue. And I have asked at KPFK, and I'm going to raise it now. You know, a lot of non-profit organizations, when they're doing budgets, they also list the in-kind contributions. In-kind contributions are those who are working for free, like me. I'm doing this Pacifica National show. I don't know how national. It's been a huge amount of work. I'm not getting paid one penny for it. But I think Mamiya deserves it, and I'm glad to do it. But I would like to see a budget coming from these stations that reflect the financial contribution of unpaid programmers, to see it in black and white so that all of us know, the local station boards and the national board knows what the actual contributions are, so that when there's a question of paying childcare for somebody, you know, who doesn't have the money for it, or a little $10,000 here or there for equipment, you know, we're not hearing a whole song and dance about how the money isn't there, because look at how much we are contributing and we are propping up Pacifica with the unwaged work. Slavery is finished. We at least need to recognize people's contribution, if not in dollars and cents, at least in print. And I also think it will be a benefit to us in terms of getting grants and you know, it's a boost for us to actually raise money for Pacifica as well. So I hope you all will consider these things in your deliberation. I'm sorry not to be able to stay for the whole thing, but we really, Nathan Moore, thanks for all of his work and support, will actually kill us if we don't have that show ready to be up on Audio Port on Monday morning. Thank you.
Thanks, Margaret. And just so everybody knows,
I could just say thanks back, actually, real quick, both for your great work and also for your work as an unpaid staff member. It really is the cornerstone and bedrock of what we do, and I appreciate that.
And just so everybody knows, because Margaret's not going to be able to participate for the rest of the discussion, I let her speak for over 5 minutes. I'm hoping that in the rest of the board discussion, board members will restrict their comments to about 2 minutes. And Michael, would you be willing to just let people know when they've spoken for 2 minutes? Okay, we'll come down the... Well, actually, this time I'm going to alternate side to side. So, Rip...
Okay, thank you. I'm Rick Robbins from KSBR. I'm the affiliate director. What I'd like to talk to is some of the technical aspects. Our station uses Audio Port every day, and there are a few things that I think could help the unpaid staff, as they're called at other stations, not in Pacifica, with filing these shows on AudioPort. And I spoke with our media producer who takes a lot of these programs down before I came here so that I would have some constructive ideas on this. One of the things that's most common that we find in audio, well, I should say in AudioPort, but from programs that are put up by the stations, is that there's not a consistent file length. And we usually have to go in and fill those out in order to have a show. And so this takes time from our local producer to try to add in either PSAs or music or something in order to make the show conform to what our schedules are, which generally are the 28-minute or 29-minute or 58 or 59-minute formats. And that needs to be done. There needs to be some consistency throughout not just the five stations but also with the affiliates in putting these files up so that we can easily use them, because right now they're not. The other thing is that what I believe is called metadata that goes along with an MP3 file, and this is really confusing because there's no consistency at all with this information. And so many times we'll download a file, and the name of the show is in AudioPort, but once we get it downloaded, it says track one. And track one, what is that? And we're constantly dealing with these, and we have to refer back to figure out what it is. Well, when we're dealing with some 40 or 50 shows a week, this is really cumbersome, and it inhibits us from using more programming from AudioPort. What I believe is needed is what could be called a media producer, something at each station which helps these individual programmers somewhere along this trail from the beginning to the end, when they have the idea of the show to the final uploading of that to AudioPort. There's a lot of talent, but somewhere on that trail people find impediments, and there needs to be somebody that can help work through those. Thank you.
Thank you. There's no one on that side, so we'll come back. Chandra? They didn't raise their hands.
Howdy, KPFK. Nice to be here. I'm Chandra Houtman from Berkeley. Very excited about the new proposals, and especially about the collaboration that's going on nationally from all the programmers. So I have a few questions. One is, do we have buy-in from all the stations on these ideas? And two is, can you elaborate a little more about what the ideas are about co-broadcasting? And I like the idea about the national call-in show. And are these issues, are these proposals that just came out of this weekend collaboration, or as so they haven't been fully fleshed out yet, and we'll get more details later? And the last question is the National Program Committee involved in these discussions?
He never puts the mic down.
Eva, can you identify yourself on the mic?
Yes. You know, our stations all have... She said I have to say my name and ID. I'm Eva Georgia, the GM at KPFK. Our station all have really significant public affairs programming that I think that everybody's proud of. And given what is going on in the country, I think issues like labor, education, healthcare, housing, all of those things we already address, and there's no reason why stations cannot co-produce shows. If KPFA is doing a really strong labor show, and so is KPFK, those shows, those hosts can come together and co-host shows, and that means we don't have to put a lot of money in. We might have to put money available for production assistance. But if we do that across the network, we start building relationships. We start developing talent. We start developing national shows without having to kick people off the air, because anytime we want to launch a new show, we have to make space. And in this way, we develop collaboration between stations. And, you know, as it develops, I think even our music audiences, we are not cultivating our music audiences. If KPFK and WPFW have a jazz show, why not do a live broadcast from coast to coast that you can then stream on the web and have people pay? even if it's a dollar, to watch this live concert in play. So I think there's a lot of things that we can do practically without having to create big budgets, but start developing the relationships between local and national programming. And from that, I think it would, that's one way that I think we could immediately start building that. And I know that everybody in this room from the OC is really supportive of producing national shows in different capacities.
The answers to the other parts of her question?
I was just going to handle the other parts rather quickly. That in terms of buy-in from all, this is pretty new this weekend, honestly. I mean, and I'd say even beyond that, that, you know, that whatever might sound like a proposal is still in the process of having consensus formed around it. So that's the short version. I'd say that once something is a bit firmer, it'll, yeah, I mean, the process then goes to the National Programming Committee to take a look at it and have their input. Yeah.
So you will bring them into the process?
I think that's expected, yeah.
Okay, Bob and then LaVarne.
Well, I am also very glad to...
And board members, please identify yourself for the first time you speak so that the listening audience can attach a name and a signal area to your voice.
Okay. This is Bob Lederer from WBAI. I, too, am very happy to hear about the constructive conversations that happened yesterday and the new ideas about programming. I want to express my concerns about the process of developing ideas because the concept of a national call-in show may be a great direction to go, or it may not be the highest priority for our resources. I don't know. But what I'm concerned is that in what Nathan just said and the absence of what anyone else said, there is no discussion about bringing in the programmers to the discussion. There were references to the program directors, the general managers, the national staff, and the National Programming Committee. But the people who I think have a very important contribution and not simply to advocate for their own programs or their own personal role to be part of a show, because I think a lot of programmers have a vision that extends beyond self-promotion, is the unpaid staff at all five stations. And I think that voice has often been left out of the loop, and I would like to see a commitment to, before any decisions are made, before any proposal is presented to the National Programming Committee, that it go back to all five stations for some really thorough dialogue about what is the kind of national programming we need. What is a call-in show a good idea? If so, how should it be structured? What issue should it focus around? So that's one point. I'm also very glad to hear about the dialogue about our news resources, because that's a long overdue discussion, and there are a lot of issues to be dealt with, though. There have been concerns raised around the country about free speech radio news that does an excellent job with international programming, but there's been some real points raised about how thoroughly they cover some of the day-to-day life and death issues that face communities of color inside the U.S. So I think all these things need to be looked at and the subject of broad national dialogue throughout Pacifica.
Thanks. LaVarne?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is LaVarne Williams. I'm from KPFA in Berkeley. I live in Union City, California, and it's delightful to be here in Southern California. And as I've said before, I don't support any of those north-south biases. I love L.A. What I'd like to say, it's our water. It's our water. So what I'd like to say is that, you know, this is very exciting. It's good to see the Operations Collective, and that the points that Margaret, this is what happens as one advances, that Margaret made in terms of supporting unpaid staff. I mean, it's very important. We've talked about this many times in the future, and I hope to talk about it in the future in the past. But what I want to say is just to echo what Chandra had said, is that in order to have an in-kind list and people who are actually contributing, we actually do this, I believe the auditor does it on a yearly basis, but We do need to have the mechanism in place that perhaps on a quarterly basis this need to be consolidated by the national finance staff, because also we get, I mean, I think this is important for CPP funding and also for other tax credits to get this in-kind contributions. But in order to do that, as Chandra said, you have to have a staff list. And let me say it again, you have to have a staff list. And so that, you know, that it must be done. So, you know, we're into this circle again, not only about reporting headcount of paid staff, but having a staff list that can be validated on a quarterly basis in order to understand this. And I totally support putting into the budget in every station funding for the unpaid staff. We've talked about this many times. And I think the funding is not just supplies, but it also involves support in terms of other people, or I guess stringers, who can go out and do some of the legwork for these people who work really hard and pulling in their creative ideas. They actually need help in terms of getting some of the work done and running down, I guess, doing interviews and stuff that they need for their program. And so I would hope that when we go into the budget that we would, perhaps if I have to, pass a motion that this should be included. It's just very important. But I have a question on the Pacifica Radio. You know, what exactly is your role in Democracy Now in distribution of their programming?
Okay, we'll get that answer in a second. Lydia, and then Armando, I think, has a response. I'd like to take, like, a couple of comments, and then if the staff has a response, you can do that to get...
Yes, I was wondering if there was any discussion with something that considers Pacifica branding as more than being one show. Otherwise, I can't see us avoiding the same situation that we have right now, where it's one show, they become so big, they go off, create their own thing. It's wonderful because of its message and so forth. But I was thinking if there were discussions about branding Pacifica generically, meaning if you take the mission statement and you say, why don't we work on getting 6 shows that exist right now so we don't have to create something new, and take one extraordinary youth-oriented music show, for example, to do the music, another one for the arts, another one for the public affairs, another one, you know, maybe half a dozen, and what you put out there is like, this is our mission statement. And then what you're branding is the concept of Pacifica that can constantly be in a renewal cycle, as opposed to pouring everything into one particular show that may or may not succeed to the degree that we might envision, but that as a whole, what you're branding is what is unique about Pacifica. So pick, go throughout the entire network, I believe they exist, and say the best or you know, the quality that exemplifies, now I don't like to say best or not, and that magnifies those particular things in the mission statement. That's our branding. How do we brand ourselves? I think the problem is that we haven't identified and we haven't agreed really on what that is. And so both as a board, as staff, and whatever, we need to define who we are within the context of that mission statement, and out of that create a group of shows that can constantly be changing.
Mondo wanted to respond, and then we'll come back to the board members. We'll go to Doc and then Ray.
Okay. I do want to recognize Mr. Lederer's comments and just bring to the board's attention that while we might not always discuss every specific detail and point, keep in mind that we have 4 minutes each. And while that is a crucial component, that is something that we are very conscious of in terms of further involvement. I know I can speak for my colleagues when I say that we do go back and engage these issues further above and beyond that of here, not to mention that we do have representatives here whom are of the programming base. That said, I do also want to encourage that as we look further towards some of the comments that have been expressed with regard to additional resources and providing additional support, I also want to ask all that you parallel with that, take into consideration the management of such operation. That said, keep in mind that as many of the national staff will show you and tell you, you know, we're all spread thin, and the more we pound on it, the more the thinner we are spread. So when we talk about those areas that require additional oversight, you have to also consider additional staffing. And as such, as you will see, the web becomes a bit more complex. And that is just as equally considerate of those that, like those that are providing in-kind contributions, we too also just have a plate to consider. And finally, before I turn it over to Nate to respond further, I think there was some brief discussion about looking at some of these discussions in the context of blocks. In fact, for a brief time, we did talk about the creation of such a news entity that would complement a public affairs, that would complement whatever follows as a block of programming that would be, in fact, Pacifica and not just a single show. So that discussion has begun, and I think we can create an addendum to that discussion with some of the points that Lydia has brought up. Thank you.
Nate?
Rather brief to respond to Lydia and LaVarne. Our distribution of Democracy Now! Is on the KU satellite as well as the KU web stream. That's our role. We you know, it's kind of like a contracted program. We distribute it out to the affiliates and sister stations. And I don't recall what percent use the KU, but it's in the carriage report that Ursula just conducted, and I'm sure you could ask her for details. As far as Lydia's questions, yes, absolutely. More than just one show is a Pacifica brand, right. There were three things we kind of brought up, and you know, apologies if it was less than clear, but the idea for a new program being one thing, Pacifica branded news as another thing, as we hopefully are able to re-enfold Free Speech Radio News down the road as negotiations happen there. And then this idea of building up from co-broadcasts, you know, sort of a voluntary arrangement among stations. And then also something you pointed out, you laid out very well what others and myself are actually already working on as well, which is a notion of what I call a menu of national programming. Basically taking a lot of the great shows we've got that are reliable, that are high quality, that are there every week, and that are really, really great and mission-driven and doing, you know, that have wonderful content. Putting those up on a pedestal and saying, hey, these are good programs. We can use this in promotions. We can say, hey, look, Pacifica is about more than just you know, five stations that get together once in a while. We do programming. Look at our programming. It's great programming. And sort of developing the identity through that programming. And it is something we're working on in terms of where we are in that process. It's a little early. I'm talking with folks at stations about you know, what they might recommend for programs at those stations. It will be an open process with you know, sort of an application, though. I mean, anybody who wants to do it can certainly try.
Ray.
Yeah, thank you. Bella Forrest, WBI New York. I'd like to stress the point just made by Bob, and I appreciate your answer, Arwendo. Basically what some of us have been pushing for is to have this consultative process as being the core, the sine qua non condition for moving forward on any issue, that people impacted by or participating in the process be consulted, be part of these processes. What I didn't think I heard was programming that would involve collaborative process from each session. I don't know if Sasha touched on that. And it's unusual. I mean, rather than the Democracy Now! Model where one station starts with a plan and moves forward with it and succeed or fails, I'm assuming that's something that would stay in WBA at Pacifica also, because it would be something that would be owed partially by all the different stations. Have you considered that? I had a different part of the question there. I'm sorry, I can't. Well, but anyway, have you considered developing a show that would take segments from the experience of each local area? Or do you see it as a possibility? Oh, the other part of my question was, how do you evaluate the validity of the programming suggestions that you have, you know, before you actually launch the show? How do you test it against the public?
Actually, Bobby, can we take one more question? Because I'd like to take like two questions and then get your responses at a time. Doc? And then there, and then you.
I'm Dr. Evelyn Bethune from KPFT in Houston. And one of the concerns that I have is that I'm very happy to see our general managers and our program directors coming together to really, you know, communicate. My concern is that as we talk about the things that we want to do as it relates to national programming, mechanisms for follow-up are very critical to the success of what we commit to. Because in Houston, we commit sometimes to things that don't happen. There's no follow-up. And I'm very concerned about that. I talk about it on a local level all the time, so they're used to hearing me say this. We made a commitment to Katrina survivors that we have not followed through on. And I'm very concerned about it because that's a national issue. And it hasn't gone away. It hasn't gotten better. And we are the only place that's going to talk about the reality of what is happening to the survivors of Katrina. And we can do a Katrina special every 6 months or every 4 or 5 months, but the reality is that every day their lives are impacted by decisions of governmental agencies, and they have no voice. And if we don't follow through on the things that we commit to in terms of keeping it in the forefront and speaking out for people who are being made criminals instead of the victim, which is what they are, there's no other voice for them. So when we commit to do things in terms of national programming, we have to follow through. We can't just commit. We can't go to a town hall meeting, get information, say we're going to do this, and then it not ever be heard of again. Because to say it is one thing. To do it is something else. And whatever's necessary, write it down and submit it so that it can be taken care of. If you need resources, say that. Just don't let it disappear. Because as a board member, I don't know what your needs are if you don't tell us.
Time. Bobby, you wanted to respond?
Two things. Bobby Hill from WPFW. In the context of this national program, we also had talked about identifying some key platform issues that would get regular attention. I suppose the waking up and what's the news today, there are some things that we think we want to keep in focus. Katrina could be one, healthcare, the upcoming election, just some things we stay on top of and make part of our DNA, so to speak, and what we want to deal with. In terms of, I think, Ray, you asked the question about inclusion, and I think it was part of Lydia's question as well. We have talked about some opportunity to include the talents in Pacifica in both the occasional co-hosting of this talk show, call-in program. And we also talked about some end-of-the-week, like, news wrap-ups that kind of give an opportunity for various talents throughout the network to have a national platform to talk across the board about news issues. So just wanted to speak to the inclusion and identifying some key platform issues. We did talk about that, some things that we want to push and make sure we stay on top of.
Thanks. Lisa and Mary?
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Lisa Davis, WBAI, and just something Evelyn was saying, not to say I'm echoing, but a little private insight thing, but it triggered something in my mind that I just wanted to also throw out there as well, because one of the things that happens is as a board director and also as an LSB member, many times we see, you know, the audience, I'm sure you all see them too, but they will surely come up to us and say, look, we want to hear this. Why don't you do this? I know that several times we've had people, when we've gone to some of these meetings throughout the country, we'll hear people speak, and these are very legitimate things in terms of more programming for indigenous people. I heard somebody one day at a WBAI meeting talking about, what are you all going to do about more programming, a national program, in terms of the issues of police brutality? And there have been times that this board has passed motions pertaining to certain issues. And at least from my view, it was done as a way to kind of get these issues out there and to let people know we are concerned about what goes on. But I just want to know, how do we, as a board, when we hear certain, because the issue is about just communicating, putting things out there, saying there are issues we need to be kept up. How do we also, without stepping on anyone's toes, without trying to usurp anyone's authority, also be able to say, here are some things that we're also hearing about and, you know, that we think should be in the mix. Just a couple of things. I know Kenneth Foster, another death penalty in Texas, horrible situation. We have the Jenna Six, something going on July 30th. All of these are so, I mean, so dire. So I just, as we're talking about this, to also open it up just in terms of also as a board, and when we hear things, how do we also do things in a very collaborative effort so it doesn't appear that anybody's sitting there trying to usurp or step on anyone's toes, but yet saying we want to get these things out there too. Thank you.
Okay, next person was Mary.
Thank you. I'm Mary Berg, staff rep from Berkeley, from KPFK. I'm sorry, KPFK is in the air right here. KPFA is what is in Berkeley. I would strongly urge that what Bob Lederer suggested be implemented. And I'm not repeating it because I do believe we are all intelligent people and everybody heard him the first time. But this kind of national involvement, across, I mean network-wide involvement of programmers is crucial. I want to point out that this topic was originally framed in the context of the inherent dichotomy between the need, the mandate to respond to local community needs in each of our signal areas and the gradually growing idea, the urgency to become a national presence. They're contradictory. You can't do both. You can do it in the sense that NPR does it, then they have a few celebs that talk to everybody across the country about local things, 2 minutes each or whatever. That's not being responsive to community needs. And so we have to have both local programming and national programming. As to branding Pacifica, it strikes me that I haven't so much, I've heard this from the board members, but not so much from the rest of you. The best way to have national programming, to me, would be from the local stations. We have 5 programming units. We do not need to make another one with different people, more funding, and so forth. We have the resources, and that would be the best brand we could have, because unlike NPR with the celebs, we would have a host of stars all from all across the network, and the local programming that is done could be national, either from each station in segments, which has been suggested, or in collaboration with two stations, especially if they have issues in common. But I hope we can focus on this, the need to have local programming for local community needs and how this can be balanced out and how much of a balance we all as board members, we need to come to an agreement about what that balance should be, 90%, 10%, 50-50, whatever. And I think we have to do that before we can proceed with the rest of it. So I hope we get to that.